B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub. No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Maz.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hour number two of Felger and Maz, presented by DraftKings here on 98.5 Sports Hub. Simulcast NBC Sports Boston. Mike and Tony off. So you have yours truly, Big Jim Murray, here in the A-hole chair alongside Matt McCarthy in the Maz chair and giving you the Sports Hub headlines. Again, those that might have missed that, can you just give me that Oregon State thing again, please?
Yes. Oregon and Oregon State will no longer use the phrase Civil War to promote rivalry games between the schools. Of course, it's one of the biggest rivalries in college football. It's a big deal out there in the Pacific Northwest. It's the Civil War. Not anymore.
I mean, the Civil War happened for ultimately a good reason. It was to end slavery. So I can understand why to change the names of military bases. Mm-hmm. And I can even understand those making a case to take down Confederate generals, statues of Confederate generals. But the term Civil War? What are we doing? What is happening?
There have been a million Civil Wars, not just our own. There have been a ton.
Right. Is it because of the violence? You work at a classic rock station. Do you have to now soon? You can't call it be In Roses? This is Paradise City, but In Roses. Because we can't say guns anymore because guns are offensive. Like, that's where we're heading. I don't think I'm a crazy person to think that. Like, it's just such a, what a time we live in. What a time we live in, Matt McCarthy. So speaking of that very thing, what did you make of the news story, the Bubba Wallace story out of Talladega and the big, you know, the big hullabaloo in NASCAR this week?
Only in 2020, right? I mean, only in 2020 can you have that type of horrible coincidence where that noose had been there since October. These garages are randomly assigned or formatically assigned, however you want to say it. They wouldn't have known that Bubba Wallace was going to be in that garage. He's the only black driver in NASCAR. And yet that's his garage. Only in this god-awful year would something as horrible as that end up happening. And listen, I think NASCAR comes out of this looking good. I think they handled this appropriately. They handled this the way they should have. I don't think it was an overreaction. I mean, they show you that picture yesterday, and sure, yeah,
a noose you'll see.
Shame on me for not, I guess not, it's not that I didn't believe it. I mean, I said, okay, I'm assuming it's a noose, but I was just stopped in my tracks when I saw it. I was like, oh, bleep, that's a noose. Like, that's a legitimate 100%. There's nothing else. That's a noose. So I guess shame on me for not really recognizing that, but I think NASCAR did a good job, and I think they were, you know, they did a good job detailing, you know, they did this investigation. It's a horrible coincidence. I'm assuming somebody did it for a reason, whether it's somebody who thought it was a joke, which it's not, or, you know, it's this type of person who goes and spray paints hate symbols on churches somewhere, like that type of person, that type of sick person who did that. I don't know. Either way, it shouldn't have been there. It's there for a reason. Thank God it wasn't specifically targeted at Bubba Wallace. But it's still not good that it was there. We all know it was there for some reason, whatever that reason may be.
Should they do a further investigation?
Yes, absolutely. I want to know what crew was in there back in October. NASCAR must know this, right? So I say, you know, at one time, I think NASCAR's done a good job, but I still want to know more. NASCAR must know this. The FBI certainly knows this. I mean, they brought in the FBI. You think the FBI isn't saying, okay, who was in here in October, right? You think the FBI isn't looking into that? What crew was in there? What team was in there? What driver was in there? You know, maybe it's just one person. I hope to God it's one person. But I think it also says a little something about the culture of NASCAR, right, Jim, that I think the sport is trying to get out of the sport. But that thing's been there since October. People must have seen it. They must have walked by it. They must have turned the other way. Or even worse, they didn't even think it was that big a deal. But when you see that, when I see that, I say, holy bleep, that's a noose. And yeah. We all know what that means.
And I wouldn't, for me personally, I wouldn't say shame on you for having questions on day one, because I'm of the belief that I think it's okay to have questions and, mm-hmm. and be a bit of a skeptic. I understand, look, in these emotionally charged times we live in, someone would hear that and be like, well, yeah, shame on you, Murray, and shame on you, McCarthy. But I'm not one of those people. Mm-hmm. But I also took this story at face value on Monday. I did. Having been to Birmingham, yeah. And that part of Alabama, which is only about an hour drive to Talladega, let me tell you, and even if you don't know the history, just go once. If you have, it's actually, I mean, there's people that are trying to make that place a better place. But it's really that part of Alabama, Birmingham, they referred to it as Bombingham not that long ago, one of the most horrible governors in this country's history. It's a terrible and sad timeline of everything that's gone on there. It's completely plausible that it happened.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you find out that it wasn't actually a hate crime. And like you said, the fact remains, that thing being in that bay, it's an incredibly unfortunate circumstance and truly a microcosm of this unbelievably terrible year. You know, we got a good story out of this. What still bugged me is it wasn't a hate crime. It's a good thing. You saw a show of solidarity in that sport that no one has ever seen before on Monday when all the drivers surrounded him when they started up the race again after the rain delay. But I still thought it was gross, Matt, that you had some who were seemingly disappointed that it wasn't a bigger story and that the actual hate crime didn't exist, because fanning the flames is good for clicks. It's good for business for some. And, you know, you're also going to have nuts that still try to say, you're making more of it than it actually
right.
is.
It's
like,
a
no.
hoax or whatever.
No, it's not. No. It wasn't. It's not the Jussie Smollett thing. Like, you see that. Now, I don't know how you could look at that photo yesterday and say, well, there's no well. No. That's a noose. It's as noosey a noose as you will see. And I can completely understand why someone on that pit crew, someone that worked with Jussie Smollett, someone at NASCAR saw that and said, that's there to send a message. And they were right to have a thorough investigation. But, man, it's...
Leave it to 2020, right, Jim?
Really, yeah. It's, what? Oh, my God. Like, that's, I expect something bad every minute of every day going forward. Like Jimmy Stewart says, we're never going to get out of this. It's something, every day is worse than the last, and we're never going to get out of this.
All right. Positive thinking today. I like it. You're making me feel good.
Let's go to Paul in Worcester on the Bubba Wallace story. Paul, you're next here on an Agenda Free Friday.
Hi, Murray. Felgrid asked yesterday about Fort Bragg, and it was named after Braxton Bragg, who was a major Confederate general during the Civil War. And the fun fact about him was that at one point in the war, a group of generals who were serving under him wrote a joint letter to Jefferson Davis begging him to remove Bragg from command because he was so hated and incompetent. And he's generally regarded as one of the worst generals in the Civil War. Hmm. And that's saying something.
Did you have anything else on the story, Paul?
No, I had a thought about the noose. It's called a hangman's noose for a reason. That's only used for one purpose, and given where it was done, if it wasn't directed at Bubba Wallace directly, it was directed at black people in general. So give me a break about arguing about this.
Well, right, and that's the thing, Paul. Like, you know, so, you know, you, white, might see that and be like, okay, it's a noose. You know, it certainly means something historically to the black community in this country, and that is it's horrible. The psychological trauma, what looking at that and what they see, and given the history of the damn thing. So while you, whitey, might look at it and be like, whatever, it's just a knot. Maybe it's someone that's in the knots. The knot community we've heard from, too, this week. Because, of course, we have. It's 2020. The knot community needs to talk about what kind of knot it was. Well, technically, it's a damn noose. You know it's a noose. You saw a noose. It's a noose. It's a noose.
I know it when I see it, right?
Jesus, you know? So it's the, you know, the yeah-buddism, too. Like, again, on the one end, I can understand. I think it's okay to question sometimes. But the yeah-buddism, like, once you see that photo released by NASCAR, there's no yeah-buddism. That's a noose. It's a noose. It's a noose. And it means something to African Americans in this country, given the history and, you know, the unfortunate history of it. And you can understand why, right? Can we, like, any rational thinking person can understand why they investigated after seeing the damn thing? Jesus. Let's go to Cam in Taunton with a Bruins thought. Go ahead, Cam.
How's it going today, guys? And, good. You know, Felger, I mean, excuse me, Murray, you mentioned, I just called you Felger, my God.
That's not good. It's not a good sign, Cam.
Yeah, it's 2020.
Every day gets worse by the minute.
You mentioned how bad Brady's attitude was. Just remember how he acted after some of those games last year? Like, remember when they beat the Eagles? You know, they went in there and they had a good game defensively, and he looked like someone had just shot his dog in front of him after the game.
Yeah. It was as early as the Bills win in Buffalo in week 3. You didn't even have to go till November in the Eagles game. It was like, you realize you just won the game, right? And it's like, mopey.
The writing was on the wall that he was gone, and everyone just chose to ignore it because, you know, the Patriots fans live in Happyville. But I'm calling about the Bruins, and I want to wish Jim a happy 5-year anniversary of his Johnny Gaudreau moment, which was 5 years ago today, which leads me to the disaster that was the 2015 first round for the Boston Bruins. All the names that they left on the board after those two of those three picks were so horrible. DeBrus was good, Sinisian, Zaboral, horrific. Matthew Barzell, and goes on and on. That draft had a chance to set the Bruins up for an entirely new era post this Bergeron, Chara, Krejci, Marchand, Rask core. And now we view this year as the last kick of the can because of that draft and how badly they botched that first round. It doesn't get talked about enough, but that could go down as one of the biggest what-ifs in Boston sports history. Really, it could.
Thanks for the call, Cam. Is it really 5 years ago today that was Johnny Gaudreau's a Bruin and I got duped on the on the fake fake Darren Drager?
And it's still just as funny 5 years ago now as it was.
Yeah, well, that's a draft that, like, I'm with Cam. You hold on to the anger of that, looking at those three straight picks, 13, 14, 15, Zboril, DeBrusque. DeBrusque worked out, but Senishin, when you had Barzal going 16 right after Senishin, you want to make a case for Thomas Chabot with the Ottawa Senators, a handful of picks afterwards. Like, yeah, they ultimately blew it. That's a bad draft, something you should be angry at. Forever.
Yeah, but and I think it's one of those things, too, where you look at it and you say, if the Bruins have Matthew Barzal or if the Bruins actually hit on some of those picks and they get a second-line right winger...
You win a cup last year.
You win the cup last year. So I don't think, you know, people say, oh, it's 5 years ago, get over it. No, you don't get over something like that because that was such a pivotal moment in franchise history, and they missed and they whiffed. And in my opinion, it cost them a cup. It cost them at least one cup and maybe some, you know, stronger runs at other ones.
As we go to break, Jimmy, let's relive what Cam just reminded us of 5 years ago today.
And if Calgary's going to pay him $7-8 million a year? What, Murray? What?
According to Drager, Johnny Gaudreau is a Bruin.
Not so much.
Calgary Bears. Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub. Sports Hub. No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hour number two of Felger and Mads, presented by DraftKings here on 98.5 Sports Hub. Simulcast NBC Sports Boston. Mike and Tony off. So you have yours truly, Big Jim Murray, here in the A-hole chair alongside Matt McCarthy in the Mads chair and giving you the Sports Hub headlines. Again, those that might have missed that, can you just give me that Oregon State thing again, please?
Yes, Oregon and Oregon State will no longer use the phrase civil war to promote rivalry games between the schools. Of course, it's one of the biggest rivalries in college football. It's a big deal out there in the Pacific Northwest. It's the Civil War, not anymore.
I mean, the Civil War happened for ultimately a good reason. It was to end slavery. So I can understand wanting to change the names of military bases. Mm-hmm. And I can even understand those making a case to take down Confederate generals, statues of Confederate generals. But the term Civil War? What are we doing? What is happening?
There have been a million Civil Wars, not just our own. There have been a ton.
Right. Is it because of the violence? You work at a classic rock station. Do you have to now soon? You can't call it be In Roses? This is Paradise City, but In Roses. Because we can't say guns anymore because guns are offensive. Like, that's where we're heading. I don't think I'm a crazy person to think that. Like, Oh, it's just such a... What a time we live in. What a time we live in, Matt McCarthy. So speaking of that very thing, what did you make of the news story, the Bubba Wallace story out of Talladega and the big, you know, the big hullabaloo in NASCAR this week?
Only in 2020, right? I mean, only in 2020 can you have that type of horrible coincidence where that noose had been there since October. These garages are randomly assigned or formatically assigned, however you want to say it. They wouldn't have known that Bubba Wallace was going to be in that garage. He's
Felger and Mads.
Wow.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger and Mads on an agenda-free Friday, driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. 617-779-0985. It being agenda-free means you, the people, drive the conversation at 617-779-0985. We'll go to JJ in the car with a thought on Tom Brady. Hey, JJ.
How you doing, guys? You've touched on it a little bit before, but imagine if Brady was still here and the chain he would be on with Giselle. You think she would let him out of the house to go train with these receivers on this current team? And say he did re-sign here. Oh, no, he'd be the biggest coronavirus advocate out there. He'd be right next to Fauci in all these interviews saying how deadly of a disease it is. And then come week 10, blame it on the receivers again. But now he's down in Florida, the Tampa Bay, Giselle's okay with it because she's by the pool or by the beach with a nice drink in her hand. It's all good and fun down in Tampa Bay.
Well, you know how it is, JJ, when it's when things are new, you got a little bit more pep in your step. You're reinvigorated, and Brady's got something to prove because his old boss, Bill Belichick, had, for all intents and purposes, moved on. He was ready to move on. He was ready to move on in 2014 when he drafted Jimmy Garoppolo. They had the guy, Mike. But, you know, that lit a fire under Brady's ass then. You got the best out of Brady. I think the best in his career in the following years, and especially in the Super Bowl against the Seattle Seahawks. That's his fourth quarter is the best performance of any quarterback I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, it was his Mona Lisa.
It's ridiculous. But these last few years, I can understand why he had kind of checked out. But now you're getting the new Tom with his revenge body down in Tampa Bay. Let's go to Tommy and Lynn with a thought on Jarrett Stidham. Hello, Tommy.
Yes, Jarrett Stidham, he's going to do good with the Patriots. They're going to be 11-5, and I want to do my Maz impression. They have the guy, Murray. They have the guy. They have the guy, Murray. They have Garoppolo.
It's pretty good, Tommy. I will accept that. 11-5. 11-5? I mean, I wouldn't be that surprised, but given that schedule and how tough it is, and if they actually play the whole slate in that first month and a half that they have to travel to Seattle, they have to travel to Kansas City. I don't know, like 9-7 at best in my mind, 10-6, 11-5. I think would be a grand overachievement for this year's team.
11-5, come on, really? I mean, listen, you can call me a Patriots honk, but no way, no way. They went 11-5 with Tom Brady, literally the greatest player in the history of the league last year. Now you're going to go to Jarrett Stidham or Brian Hoyer against a significantly more difficult schedule and go 11-5 this year? Come on, really? There's no way that's happening. And shame on me for doubting a Bill Belichick coach team, right? I've been wrong before. I'll be wrong again when it comes to Bill Belichick. There's no way this team is – they're not talented enough to go 11-5. They just don't have what it takes, and the schedule is a huge factor too.
Defensively, if some of these draft picks pan out, it could happen. I wouldn't make that bet.
Defensively, though,
I think there's a lot of question marks, and that starts at the most important position at quarterback. You know, again, there's upside and potential with Stidham, but who the hell really knows? He went in the fourth. I'd like to think that he went in the fourth round for a reason,
right? And we overrate that defense. I mean, they were great against the Nick Falks of the world. Who was that? Luke Falk. I can't even remember who played quarterback for the Jets in that Week 3 game. I mean, yeah, they were 8-0 against historically bad competition, and then you get to Week 17 at home, need a stop, can't get it against Ryan Fitzpatrick. You get to the playoff game against the Titans, need a stop against Ryan Tannehill, can't get it. So, like, that defense is going to carry you to 11-5. They're good, but they're not otherworldly. I mean, I think you need an excellent to otherworldly defense to get this team to 11-5 with the quality of this offense, the quality of the quarterback play, and the difficulty of the competition. They're 9-7. They'll be fine. They'll be competitive. They're not an 11-5 team.
McCarthy opened this Agenda Free Friday by ripping John Henry for treating the Red Sox as a Triple-A team, essentially. Neil and Taunton on John Henry. Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, guys? First, I'd like to go ahead and congratulate the insufferable Liverpool supporters on absolutely nothing. I hate them so much, but John Henry is absolutely right to spend his money in the EPL and not in baseball, because in that league, in Major League Baseball, if you don't pay the players and you don't get big contracts, you're still making money. In the English Premier League, you have to spend money if you want to make money. That's how it goes. That league is way more competitive. If you don't spend, you're going to have supporters banging on your front door with like an angry mob. That doesn't happen in Major League Baseball. Nobody cares.
Thanks for that. Who's your club, by the way, Neil? I have to know.
I'm sadly an Everton fan. I hate my life.
I will say, those you EPL fans and you big soccer fans, the European teams, you live and die with those teams. Like,
yes.
The depression's real. It's like old. It's like growing up a Red Sox fan. Like, you always expect the worst to happen.
Right. No, there's something, I don't know, I guess sickeningly beautiful about that whole soccer experience and the hooliganism around it. I mean, it's not great, but I can't turn my eyes away.
Will in Boston with a thought on Jarrett Stidham. Hey, Will.
Yeah, I was just thinking about how we have Jarrett Stidham and Brian Hoyer. Obviously, Brian Hoyer is trash, but I think we should just bring in Cam Newton, bring in Colin Kaepernick, and have Jarrett Stidham all compete for the same job. I don't care about the circus. Let it happen. But this is about the quarterback.
So there's still people out there that want Cam Newton brought in. I can understand it, but I don't know, like that MVP season is now 5 years removed. He's got the shoulder and foot issues. I'm surprised someone hasn't really brought him in, especially the Chargers, given that offense, and they're going with Tyrod Taylor, apparently. No, I think that they're telling you that they didn't bring in Cam Newton to work, you know, to even take a look at him, have a doctor look at him or anything like that. Obviously, you can't hold workouts with the COVID and everything. I'd like to believe in Jarrett Stidham as the guy going forward, or at least for 2020 at the very least. Kaepernick, it does feel like, what with the rising tide here, he's likely to end up on some team, probably a few years too late. I'm good with the Patriots taking a shot on him. Like, I just don't want to have to deal with that with the crazy calls and anything. Let him go somewhere else. He probably deserves a job. He certainly deserves a job more than someone like Blaine Gabbert and some of the stiffs that you see backing up throughout the league. But professionally, like, I'm good. I don't want to have to deal with those phone calls.
No, I understand where you're coming from on that one, Jim. I'll say this about outside quarterbacks. I don't think there's anybody out there good enough to justify bringing somebody in from the outside, somebody who hasn't been in the system. If you bring in Kaepernick or you bring in Newton, you have to probably change your entire offensive system. And Kaepernick was extraordinarily successful under Greg Roman, who's the offensive coordinator
with
the Ravens.
Yeah.
He's been really good with mobile quarterbacks. Like, that's his thing. You bring in somebody like Kaepernick or Newton, you almost have to, like, reinvent the wheel. And for what purpose? Are they good enough to justify reinventing the wheel? If they were, they'd probably have a job at this point. I think you're better off going with Stidham, seeing what you have. If he's the real deal, great. If not, you go back into the draft. Don't bring me a retread. And this is not about Kaepernick or Newton. That's just how I felt about veteran quarterbacks entering the offseason as a whole.
Same.
Don't
yeah.
bring me Andy Dalton. Don't bring me Marcus Mariota. Don't bring me any of these. Get Jameis Winston, any of these retreads. They're not good enough to have a job somewhere else. Why should it be here? Just give it to the kid who's been here and see if he knows the system.
Yeah, and this is now an organizational reset post Tom Brady. I think that's okay to accept. And if you were to bring in a Dalton or Cam Newton, to me, that would reek of desperation, really, in that it's like, oh, you're just still trying to remain head above water, right. Be competitive, making sure you still got asses in seats, and the people are tuning in. People are going to tune in regardless anyway. Because I think, again, upside and potential with Stidham, even if it is Brian Hoyer, it's the Patriots, it's the NFL, the NFL's king, people are going to tune in. Is it going to be what it was with Brady? Probably not. There'll be a little bit of a dip. That's okay. But it's now a reset. So truly do a reset. Don't bring in a retread.
The whole point about letting Tom Brady go, or at least the whole point should have been about letting Tom Brady go, is that you're building the next great Patriots team, right? Mm-hmm. And to get the next great Patriots team, you need the next great quarterback. You need your next guy. Getting a stopgap like, you know, Cam Newton or Kaepernick or any of these guys, that doesn't help you build the next great Patriots team. That's not the approach they should take. I'm glad they aren't taking. I wanted them to bring Tom Brady back. So I think they already made a mistake there, but I'm glad they're not making the mistake of bringing in one of these guys.
Well, and that's ultimately the argument you would have, or anyone would have, if you're going to bring in a veteran. Well, why not bring in the best veteran that's available and a guy that you've had for the last 20 years and been so successful with? So that would make no sense either. Mike in Nashua on Bubba Wallace. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm not really an NASCAR fan, but the only good thing that happened in 2020 in sports is that they finally banned the Confederate flag. And, you know, regardless of the circumstances of the news, their response, I think it makes it very clear to their fans, you know, we're not going to tolerate this stuff anymore. So the cynic in me says, well, they knew there weren't going to be fans. We got to cater to the sponsors. So I just saw a report where the race in New Hampshire in the beginning of August, they're going to allow fans. So it's going to get really interesting if they start, you know, forget New Hampshire, down south. If they start letting the fans come back, it could be crazy.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Mike. Yeah, and there was the word yesterday that at Loudon in August, they're going to end up allowing like 19,000 fans. Yeah, now they're going to start letting people back. I mean, some of these events might get a little bit nuts. But he's right. I mean, in terms of if you're looking for the good in this, you know, there's good that came from the story. It wasn't ultimately a hate crime. It's an unfortunate circumstance and the most 2020 thing ever that, of course, that's Bubba Wallace's garage that the noose ended up in. But, you know, they find that it wasn't a hate crime. So great. And the show of solidarity that you saw from those drivers around Wallace on Monday, great. So those are good things that happened. But, yeah, and now the fans may start being allowed back in some of these venues. So, like, you're going to see some nutty crappers. Just, of course, because 2020 is going to continue to be 2020. That's I would expect nothing less. Matt McCarthy's going to get you caught up here with Sports Hub headlines back. We have one open line if you want to join us here on Agenda Free Friday at 617-779-0985. And a reminder, Chris Gasper of WCVB TV Channel 5 will join us in 30 minutes or so as well here on Felger and Mass.
Felger and Mass.
Whee!
It's way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's Felger and Mass on an Agenda Free Friday. Led by your phone calls at 617-779-0985. It's Jim Murray and Matt McCarthy in for Mike and Tony today. Let's go to Dave in New Bedford with a thought on the NBA. Go ahead, David.
Yes, I saw today that the NBA announced that 16 players tested positive for the coronavirus, and I wonder what your thoughts are on that. Thank you.
Well, considering how many were tested, McCarthy, it was, I think it only ended up being like
302.
So, do the math. What's the percentage there?
Don't ask me to do math. I was told there'd be no math.
5.3%.
I think that's pretty good. I think that's an okay number. Some of these tests are going to be coming back positive. That's a given. It's kind of like the Brady thing, too. So people that are up in arms seeing Brady out there practicing with his teammates, I think him and those players as the workout group, that's a good experiment for the impact of the virus on teams. If you're the NFL, you're looking at that, and I can understand why some of you are like, harumph, harumph, finger wag, I don't like this. But I don't know. I'm looking at that and say, there's maybe, well, the goodness that could come from this. If they isolate, they practice, they don't get COVID, that's a good thing for the NFL. But you're going to get positive tests. If we're just talking about less than 6% after they tested that many players, I'm looking at that as a positive if I'm the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, I think these leagues are going to be prepared for positive tests, right? I mean, they have to be prepared for positive tests. And I think, listen, it's concerning for all of us as sports fans when you read, oh, 40 Major League Baseball players tested positive, and now 16 NBA players have tested positive, and, what, 11 NHL players. Like, anytime you get these reports, it's concerning. You say, okay, well, how many is going to become too many, right? I'm more concerned about the location. I'm more concerned about them going down to Disney and to Florida, which is, I mean, you know, coronavirus hotspot 101 right now, you know, for the country. What, they had like 9,000 new cases? Did I hear that? Did you say that before the show, Jimmy?
9,000.
9,000? That ain't good.
Yeah, they've told, correct me if I'm wrong, DeSantis down there, the governor, has told establishments, like, don't serve alcohol. We need to, like, shut the doors so people stop going out.
Yeah, this is that's not good. And I understand that they're going to try and play in the bubble, right? And as you guys have talked about, and I think, you know, rightfully so, it's up to the players to stay in the bubble, be respectful of the bubble for the betterment of the sport. Because if they're going out, if they're going to the club, if they're sneaking out, you know, all these things, that's not going to be good, particularly in a place like Florida where this thing is rampant right now. So I'm more concerned, Jim, about the location, even if they are going to be bubbleized or whatever you want to call it, than the 16 players testing positive out of 302. We should expect positive tests. These leagues aren't going to be scared off by positive tests. But at what point does it become unreasonable to be playing? I still feel like we could get to that point. And maybe it has more to do with the general population than the population of these sports themselves. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, Jimmy and Raynham with another thought on the NBA schedule. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Yeah, how you doing, guys? I'm interested to know how the NBA is going to play the games. Is it going to be like an NCAA tournament where you got a game at 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5? And if I like the Celtics, am I going to see my team on the local channel or the national channels? Let me know, guys.
So you'd still get the Celtics, I would assume, on NBC Sports Boston, considering that they have they're the rights holder. Will there be some national ESPN games? ABC games? Yeah, of course there would.
And TNT games
and
as well.
And TNT. In terms of the scheduling and the time, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, the only sport we've heard from with anything like that is MLS with that welcome back tournament that they're doing or whatever the hell they're calling it, and you're going to have some games at 9:30 in the morning.
Yeah, I think the Revs have like a 9 a.m. game or something like that.
Yeah.
So I don't rule that out with the NBA.
I believe the NBA moved its start date to a Thursday, so you have to think that that's a TNT game. As far as the day games go, there was a rumor floating around, and maybe it's either in my head or on my phone or actually out into the world, that they were going to do like 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 7 o'clock. They're going to do blocks of games all in the same day. But you had like a four-hour block of game, cleaning, shoot-around, game, cleaning, all that.
Give me this. All of this. More day sports in any sport. I want day sports, daytime sports. Yes, please. I hope this is one of the good things that comes out of this horrible, horrible time. Although, actually, if I'm to believe Jimmy, it will never get better. But if it ever does get better, more daytime sports, please. Weekday sports. Bring it on.
Is baseball looking at that as well? They should be.
They should be. But, Jim, it's a stupid sport run by stupid people. There's no way they're actually looking at something that would be good for baseball, which is more daytime starts.
John in the car with a thought on the Bubba Wallace story. Go ahead, John.
Hey.
Hi, John.
Hey.
Yes. Go ahead, John.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey, guys. I'm sorry. I'm trying to do a couple things here. I've been in retail 60-plus years. I'm still a young guy. But a while back, a pizzeria chain or establishment wanted to open up stores and retail establishments. So as a mid-level executive, I got called in with the powers that be to go look at their establishment. When we went down there, they were very, very proud of their gas ovens that made them, you know, their pizza.
Okay.
So he looks at me. He goes, look down there. And I'm looking at the gas jet, and it has a swastika on it.
Oh, Jesus.
And he says, that's the sign of German engineering. This is a solid gas oven. And I said to myself, this is like 50 years after World War II. I said to myself, Jesus, guy. Have some brains. You know what I mean?
Was this, so obviously this guy was proud of this symbol on the oven?
Oh, absolutely, because this pizza made their company famous, I guess. I mean, I was just taken aback that somebody could actually say, look at this, and I'm proud of it?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, John, and thanks for the call. And that's a further example for those that still want to look around today and say, well, racism doesn't exist.
Like, I don't see it.
Yeah, there's those people that still feel that way, which you can continue to stick your head in the sand if you want to do that. Junior in Brockton with a thought on Jared Stidham. Go ahead, Junior.
Hello, Murray. How you doing?
Good. What's going on?
Basically, the whole thing with the Germany thing, when you go to Germany, they don't have swastikas and statues or monuments of slave owners and anything. But besides that, I'm all for Stidham. We're riding with Stidham, and I believe Belichick wants to play with Stidham to prove that, you know, a known name can actually go to the Super Bowl and try to win. You know what I mean? So that's what my take on Stidham.
Well, Junior, and it's not like there's not precedent. I mean, no one knew who the hell Tom Brady was in 2001. You know,
say Bill Belichick has already done that.
Yeah,
he did that in 2001. No name backup quarterback, 6th-round pick, 4th-string guy a year before. He's already done that. But does he want to do it again, Jim? Yeah, of course he does. Absolutely.
And that's why I think you're going to get the best out of both of them this year. You see Brady is already with the maniacal training and, you know, thumbing his nose at the NFLPA doctor who's saying you shouldn't be holding these kind of workouts right now. Like, no, I got to put in this work. I want to spite my old boss. I want to continue to work on my revenge body here with Gronk as well. So he's going to be reinvigorated, and I think maybe that's what it is. That's why I lead myself to believe that it is going to be Jared Stidham, that Bill Belichick reinvigorated here. He's going to get a fire under his ass and say, I didn't need you, Tom, to be successful. Anyone could have done this job because it's more about the system than it actually was you. I don't believe that, but do you think Bill believes that?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
100%.
Patrick in Brookline with a thought on Bubba Wallace. You're next here on Felgrown Mass. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, Murray, just want to let you know I'm a big fan. I just wanted to throw out this hypothetically. Unfortunately, the way 2020 has been going, obviously not that great. But hypothetically, what do you think if another pit crew happened to be in that garage? I know he was there for his point standings, but say, for instance, it was another driver. Do you think they would have reported it, acted the same way, or what do you think?
Well, Patrick, thank you for the call. I think it depends on that driver and how they look at in their view of the world. Mm-hmm. Again, so given where this happened, Talladega, Alabama, I keep referring to it being about a 45, 1 hour, 60-minute drive to Birmingham, Alabama, which has, you know, one of the saddest timelines in this country's history. So I wasn't surprised this happened, but I don't know. It is a sport that's mostly been started and surrounded by good old boys for most of their life. So you know, one driver and his crew could see it and shrug, and another that's a little bit more enlightened could also see it, even if they have no pigment in their skin, and say, oh, that's a message. That's weird. What the hell is this thing here for? And they go talk to NASCAR. I just think it depends on the view of the world of that driver and their pit crew.
Right, and I think there has been a culture of maybe looking the other way in NASCAR, which is what made that moment so powerful, pushing Bubba Wallace's car to the front. I mean, you know, this is a sport that just 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, whatever it is, finally banned the Confederate flag. So we're not exactly talking about the most forward-thinking or, dare I say, right-thinking or correct-thinking organization, you know, in the face, you know, in the country right now. But you know what? Give them credit. Better late than never, I suppose. I guess, sort of.
Yeah, and even if it's, you know, they show solidarity, they did the right thing.
Do the right thing.
I still
it's never too late to do the right thing.
I still would not watch that sport if you. You'd have to pay me a substantial amount of money, and I even worked for a station at one time. My rock years at Rock 101 in Manchester.
Oh yeah, they carry the NASCAR.
Yeah, right, of course. Yeah, that makes sense. A rock station that covers the races. Ugh, that's a great business decision. So I actually had to go to a couple of those races in Loudon, and boy, I'll never get those hours back, Matt. Have you ever been to any of those races?
I have no interest. I mean, you could not pay me. And I mean, I think that must be how like the CIA tortures terrorists. Like you send them
the
there.
Worst.
You make them watch that. Like that's not good.
And I remember, too, because they used to have the race in September, the second one, and I had to miss the Patriots' loss on the road to the Carolina Panthers in 2005. And I'm like, I'm missing a Pats game because of this crap? They're going to cover three straight hours of that, and everything's a million degrees, and everyone's sticky, and it's like cheap booze. Oh, horrible experience. Long commercial-free segment coming up next, which will lead into the weekly appearance of one Christopher L. Gasper of WCVB TV Channel 5. I won't say at 4, but 4-ish. He'll be in studio as well. Here on an agenda-free Friday on Felger and Mazz.
Felger and Mazz. Sports Hub. It's the show the crowd goes wild for.
Boo! Boo.
It's Felger and Mazz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Agenda Free Friday here on Felger and Mazz, 98.5 of Sports Hub. It's Jim Murray and Matt McCarthy in for Mike and Tony. Chris Gasper will be alongside soon. So, earlier during a commercial break, Matt told me a pretty fascinating story as all these sports are trying to, you know, get their crap together to get back and actually, you know, start making some money and, you know, soothe our minds from the hell world that we're now living in, what with the pandemic. Obviously, you know, concerns about the coronavirus and keeping the players safe. Matt, as it turns out, your full-time job, you work for a company called Whoop?
Yes, that's right. It's a Boston-based tech company, Whoop.
All right. And so what Whoop does is they make these bracelets, right?
Yeah, think like a Fitbit, a fitness tracker. And if you can see it on the simulcast here right now. But yeah, it's like one of these fitness trackers. You wear it, it tells you heart rate, how you sleep, stuff like that.
And it's because of one of these that PGA Tour golfer Nick Watney, who was the first PGA player to test positive as the PGA has gotten up and running again, it's because of one of these bracelets, these Whoop bracelets, that Watney alerted him, and that's how he found out he may have coronavirus. So explain this and a bit about this thing, and because I found it fascinating.
Yeah, it is.
And how this could actually be what, you know, helps sports get back is these Whoop bracelets.
I mean, I think it's one of the keys to sports returning, right? We don't know, you know, who has this thing. You can't test everybody every day, right? So what he saw was that, wait a minute, why is my respiratory rate sky high? Why is it, you know, way up? And that's just one thing that we've noticed. Like, hey, watch your respiratory rate. If that goes way up, that's not supposed to be like that. You might, you know, you might be sick. Go get tested, type of thing.
Even if you're not working out, so
no symptoms.
In Watney's case, he woke up one morning.
He saw that his respiratory rate was sky high. Texted a few of the golfers on tour. It's like, hey, look at this. Should I be concerned? They said, dude, go get tested. He got tested. He got pulled right off the course. They called him like, dude, you've got this thing. Get off the course. Yeah, and the PGA, it's been all over the news. They bought 1,000 of these this week. And I think it's one of those things. It's like, okay, well, how do we reopen sports? Is technology going to be one of the keys to reopening sports safely? And it's, I don't know, it's a crazy story, but this guy never would have known. Justin Thomas said this the other day. He said he never, ever would have known. He didn't experience any other symptoms. He even had to push to get the test because the doctor said, you don't have a fever, you don't have anything, you don't have a cough. But he said, well, you know, this data point is showing me that something might be up here. And if he'd still be playing right now and you know, the tour would be getting, you know, sicker and sicker, and we'd have to worry about the status of the PGA Tour.
Or it just spreads. I mean, because these,
right.
You know, sick or you're asymptomatic. Like, are you sick? No, you're not feeling any symptoms, but
right.
You are helping to spread the virus. It's pretty wild. So the thing alerts you about a rise in your respiratory rate.
Right, which is measured when you sleep, so you're not going to notice it. Like, of course, if you're working out, your respiratory rate's going to go up. So it measures it when you sleep. He woke up and said, huh? What? No, this isn't good. This isn't right. This isn't supposed to look like this. And it's the only reason he got tested. And thank God he did, because, you know, he'd probably still be playing and unfortunately spreading this thing around while not knowing anything about it.
And so you say the PGA is already on board. They've bought 1,000 of these. And I'm looking at a story here on CNBC. Have any of the other leagues looked into this? I would think that would be something that they would want to do.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine that, you know, listen, if you're going to return to work, return to sports, whatever you're going to do, you want to find a way to try and keep people safe, right? And you want to find a way to keep asymptomatic cases from spreading. Because that's the scary part here, Jim, is that I could be sitting here right now, you could be sitting here right now, you would have no idea if you had it. I'm, you know, we're 6 feet apart, but, you know, maybe we walk near each other at some point. You spread it to me, I spread it to somebody. That's the scary part about this. We have no idea who has it, who doesn't. You know, it's impractical to test everybody every day, right? Like, I mean, you and I walk into work here, they're not going to, you know, stick something up our nose and get it immediately tested. Like, that's why this thing is spreading so quickly, because so many people are walking around and it seems like they don't know that they had it, which I think is the striking thing about the Watney story. And, you know, it's why the PGA is trying to be proactive about this. They'll say, we'll take any data point that we can get that might alert somebody to the fact that you might feel fine, but, hey, all of a sudden your respiratory rate is up. You should go get tested. And that's what he did, and good for him for being responsible. And I think it goes back to what you guys have been saying about personal responsibility, right? That's the key to reopening sports. Is it, you know, are these NBA players going to be going out to the club or whatever, you know, or bringing in, you know, friends, you know.
Yeah, ladies of the night or whatever.
Ladies of the night, as you put it. Like, are they going to take personal responsibility to keep their sport going? And I think that's what these golfers are trying to do. Like, let's take some personal responsibility. We're going into the bubble every week. Let's try and get as much data as we possibly can, because they're not going to test us every single day. Let's see what we can do to keep our sport safe. I don't know. It was fascinating. It was absolutely fascinating to hear him share this story.
Yeah, and good for that company you're working for, too. Again, so full disclosure, McCarthy works for this Whoop company. I didn't want to make this sound like an ad. I just find it fascinating that it's going to be, you know, maybe a technology company like this that helps these sports get up and running and continue. And can, like, the general public buy one of these? Can I buy one of these?
Yeah, you can buy one right now.
I think I'm
going
to.
I'll get you one. You want it.
Yeah, hopefully at a discount. And hopefully you have stock in this company, McCarthy, too, because I'm thinking this is probably a pretty good story for them. I want to go to JD in Winchester. You're talking about you know, return to sports here. Maybe fans can come back. There was some comment made by Red Sox brass and Sam Kennedy just the other day. Go ahead, JD.
Hey, Big Jim. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all for sports coming back and fans in the stands, but I think we're putting the cart before the horse here. I think kind of just like the virus, what we need to do is, like, it's going to be logistically impossible to I work at the TD Garden as an usher, and I think it's going to be impossible to get the fans in and out of the stands. I mean, how are we going to logistically?
JD, do you want to be around that right now? And I understand it sucks to not be working, but I don't know, like, I don't know what your case is, your age, if you have any, you know, anyone in your family that has health issues. Would you want to go back to work right now?
Not right now. I mean, we just got to look at it realistically. I mean, what are we going to do? Are we going to all have to take a number, like, at the deli counter at the meat market, and to go use the bathroom, or to, you know, we have to hold people for whistles. How are we going to do that? Just getting in the building is going to take 2 hours.
Oh, yeah, logistically, yeah. JD, thanks for the call. Logistically, it sounds like an effing nightmare. I don't know how they're going to do it. And as of right now, I can just say personally, too, like, not to sound like, you know, I was Again, I doubted it at the beginning. Thought it was another country's problem. That's not, we're never going to shut down America. Whew, egg on my face, was wrong. Wish I wasn't, but it's the way it turned out. Shame on me. But as it's gone along here, like I was like, you know, I've since gone to restaurants. I don't know if you have yet, McCarthy. I haven't eaten inside. Outside, I have no issue with. Being outside, any of the events outside, as long as we're spaced out correctly, like, I'm okay. I will say, though, with the recent spikes in certain areas like Florida, Arizona, and others, the indoor thing, little sketched out on. And there was a time I was like, ah, sports starts tonight, I'm there. You would not see me at a sporting event or anything where if there is 80 to 100 people in one place indoors, no thanks. It's up to the personal individual.
The individual, right?
You know, whatever. However you personally feel about this thing, I get it. You feel otherwise. I've changed on that. Indoors, a lot of people, no thanks. You have no shot. Yeah, I won't be doing anything like that for a long, long time unless there's a vaccine or we figure this thing out and help corral it a little bit.
No, I'm totally with you on that, Jim. And that's why I'm frustrated as a baseball fan that my sport still can't figure it out. They spend so long trying to figure it out because they are uniquely positioned as a mostly outdoor sport with no contact or very minimal contact to thrive in this time, yet they're too stupid, and the people who run that sport have no freaking clue.
Yeah, well, let's bitch about money instead for three straight months. Matt McCarthy's going to get you caught up here with the Sports Hub headlines. No commercials here. When we return here on an Agenda Free Friday, we'll welcome in WCVB-TV Channel 5's Chris Gasper here on Felgrown, Mass.